Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for joining us in worship this morning. You can be seated. I was listening to a podcast this week with philosopher and theologian Dallas Willard, and he said something to the effect of, I'm not smart enough to quote him direct, so I have to paraphrase. He said something to the effect of, if you don't like to worship, if you don't like joy overflowing and praise, you might not like heaven when you get there. And that's really been challenging me. And his whole premise is we are going to spend all of eternity worshiping and praising with joy overflowing in the presence of God. Why not start now? And so we got some clappers to start celebrating what we can to get in on it early. All right, Kid City friends, if you're in the room today, I see Mr. Mark back there. And he's going to, I'm assuming that Mark is for Kid City today. I got the thumbs up. All right, we're going to dive into God's Word and all the good stuff that happens in Kid City today. If you're hanging out with me, we're going to continue in our Never Alone series. Throughout this series, we're talking about common struggles that many of us experience, but we don't often or don't always feel comfortable or have an avenue to talk about these things in the context of church. Our goal in this series is very simple, is that we would learn to seek the comfort of Christ first, and to realize that in this journey, in our struggles, that we are never alone in the things we struggle with. That there is not only available to us the comfort of Christ, there is the comfort of community, of the church, our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Last week, Pastor Terry talked to us about serious and life-changing health challenges, and we got to hear a beautiful, powerful testimony from our friend, Miss Sherry Morgan, about how God has been faithful throughout her journey. And if you missed that, first, I'm sorry you didn't get to see it live, but it's not too late. That recording is up and available on our website, cotnaz.org, at the Watch Listen tab. I would not miss that if I was you. So you can find that on our website. And today, we're going to talk about health challenges, but in a little bit different light, what might be minor or ongoing health challenges. And immediately, I want to clarify that there is nothing minor when you or someone close to you is being affected by a health challenge. We're making this distinction in this series because it's something that we will often make in our everyday conversation, in that we would view chronic allergies different than we might cancer, or we might view celiac different than we would a quadruple bypass. But each of these things are significant in their own right because they are life-altering. They can be disrupting to our journey. And so we want to shine the light of hope on these things, ongoing things such as allergies or celiac disease, eye floaters or IBS or back pain or migraines or eczema or asthma. These things can and do often impact our daily lives, and I would dare say the lives of someone sitting close to us even today. But even with that, we can be reluctant to talk about them. And when we do that, again, we're closing ourselves off from the comfort of community. We're closing ourselves off from knowing that there are people who are journeying through similar challenges that we face. And so today, we're going to shine the light on those things. The light of hope, the light of invitation to seek comfort in Christ and together. So let's pray as we dive in this morning before we get into God's Word. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are with us in our sufferings, whether major and life-altering or minor in the day-to-day grind that we face. God, you are with us. You care. Lord, there is no problem too small or too insignificant that you don't invite us to bring to you. And so, Lord, today we want to first experience and know your comfort. Lord, we want to realize today afresh and anew that there are people around us that we can do life with, that we can find comfort with as we journey together in this area of ongoing challenges and trials. Lord, as we open your word, would you speak to our hearts, open our minds and ears to hear your voice today. In Jesus' name, Amen. If you have your copy of Scripture, we're going to be in James chapter 1. The text will also be on the screen. But James, in context, is writing to an early group of Christians who are being severely persecuted for their faith. This kind of persecution is going to affect their ability to do things like go to the grocery store. They didn't have a grocery store. It's going to affect their ability to go to work. They're going to be picked on at school. They're going to get pushed to the margins of society. Their lives are going to be impacted by this ongoing trial. And as James is writing to encourage them, he is speaking specifically to their context, but in so doing, he offers us a path of hope for the trial that we might face in our time today. We're going to begin at verse 2 of the letter of James, chapter 1. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." Now, you might hear James's words here, and you might even hear my words and think that we are simply saying something to the effect of, "Suck it up, buttercup. Pull yourself up out of your trials by your bootstraps, and oh, by the way, be joyful about it." I get why you might think that, why it might even sound like that, but that's not what we're talking about today at all. That's not what James is writing for in this passage. James is inviting us, in a pretty direct way, to have a different perspective. To open our hearts up to what God can do through suffering. When he says, "Consider it pure joy," that word there for consider, it gives us the idea of a choice, but it's a little bit more than that. It's about making a decision to see things differently, to allow a different perspective to govern our lives, to govern our thinking. In this, in telling us, we need to see, this might be too simple, but it's not automatic. We might think that because we're a follower of Jesus, because we're a Christian, that this is going to be an automatic thing. Hardship comes, trial comes, joy. It's not that automatic. We have a part to play in this decision. And he's saying, consider it pure joy. See it differently. Make the decision to view this as a joyous occasion. And James doesn't just say that we should see it differently, but to find joy in it. And I know you might be thinking, like, you're kidding, right? Joy in suffering? I assure you, James is serious. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. This word trials here are specifically things that come our way that serve to test and strengthen our faith. These trials that come are not tempting us to sin, rather they're giving us an opportunity to grow in our faith, to get stronger. James is saying that's exactly why we should have a different perspective when trials come our way. It's because in the light of what God can do, God can use those difficult things to actually strengthen us, to grow our faith, to gird up our spirit in trusting Him. And that's reason to celebrate. He says that in verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And so without minimizing the challenge that we face and the pain or the impact of these trials in our lives, James is pointing us towards this different perspective to make the decision to view every challenge in the face or in the light of what God can do through it. Because God is so good. He is so present and active in our lives and in our stories and, yes, in our suffering, that He can use each and everything we face to grow us, to mature us, to change us in His likeness. That's how good God is in each one of our lives today. Verse 4 says, "Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." One way to think about this and what James is saying is that trials are like exercise for the soul. Does anybody in here have a normal exercise routine that you're into? Trying to stay fit, trying to stay healthy? Okay, we're going to have to talk about that later. All right. It's like exercise for the soul. Exercise, some people enjoy it. I don't particularly, but we might engage in this activity because it is producing a good result for us. Trials in this sense is that that is the weight we are lifting to change, to grow, to strengthen our soul, to strengthen our faith. When we exercise, we are intentionally putting ourselves to suffering, basically, that we might get stronger, that our perseverance would grow. And James is inviting us to see that trials are, the suffering is the exercise for our soul that God will use to transform us. That our soul would be in shape and strong and healthy, that it would endure whatever comes our way. And the truth of it is that it might be miserable. A lot of times exercise is. It might be painful. And in the midst of the trial that we're facing, it's okay to pray that God would bring healing, that He would take it away. But it's important that we would see the invitation today to choose to see those things in the light of what God can do. To see them as an opportunity to grow, to mature as a follower of Jesus. If you're just joining us in this series, part of our desire is that each week we would share real stories to have conversations with people from our church who have or are currently experiencing the different challenges that we've talked about, to hear their story and that we might see literally with our eyes that we're not alone. My original plan for this morning was that we would invite, I was going to invite Mr. Jeff Higgs up to have a conversation this morning. Jeff has been a part of our church family here at East Rock since the very beginning. And Jeff has experienced many very serious and life-threatening health challenges, as well as many ongoing and life-disrupting challenges day to day. And he's experienced the wisdom and grace of God that James is talking about here in viewing suffering in light of what God can do. So we were going to have that conversation, but I got a phone call yesterday from Jeff telling me that he was in an accident involving a dirt bike yesterday. And while this wasn't his words exactly, my take of the story was that he was doing something like going over big jumps, going 110 really fast around turns, and lost control. That's my slight embellishment of the story. But however it happened, Jeff broke his arm and had an open fracture there. And so he is in Sentara this morning, facing a fresh trial at which he will see and come to see God's provision in that. So we're going to pivot a little bit this morning. Today at our Harrisonburg campus, Brian Charette is speaking with Pastor Kevin about this same topic, this same idea. Earlier this week, Brian and Pastor Kevin pre-recorded a conversation just in case Brian's health flared up and he couldn't make it to do it live. And so in all of the, you say, well, Pastor, get to the point. In all of these details, God has been with us. And so today, this was our backup plan. This is what I said, hey, if something happens with Jeff, we're going to lean into the conversation with Brian. While I didn't think it would be a dirt bike incident, here we are nonetheless. If you don't know Brian, he's worshiped with us a couple times, but he is a key thought leader in the background story of our church in our day-to-day life. He helps our pastoral team, our teaching and preaching team, developing content. He is a vital part of who we are as the Church of the Nazarene here locally. And I'm excited for you to get to hear just a little bit of his story, because he too has been through a significant bout of suffering and has seen the grace of God at work. So I would invite you this morning to lean in. And let's hear what God has been doing through suffering in Brian's life. Let's watch.
So a few weeks ago, we started a new series called Never Alone, in which we're looking at the idea, the concept, the biblical reminder that we truly are never alone because of God's presence with us. But also we're never alone, and we wanted this to be part of our series, if we are in God's family as a community, the church. 2 weeks ago, we started that series, and on our campus, we had an interview, and I interviewed a young lady, which happened to be my daughter, and we looked at the topic of anxiety and depression. Today, I interview a young man, Dr. Brian Charette, and we're going to look at the topic of illness, some major, some minor, So I want to start with just a question for Dr. Charette, and I'll call you Brian, though.
Okay, please do.
Yeah. So, Brian, some of the men, because you've shared at a few men's events and men's ministry things, will have some background about what you're to share, but many of the people in our congregation have no idea what you're about to share. Maybe you would just start by just sharing what has your personal journey related to this topic, illness, been like for you personally in the past 2 years, 3 years?
Well, let me start by speaking about a men's breakfast in August. You asked me to speak at the men's breakfast at East Rock in August, and I did something that I've never done before. I had my notes and my outline. The message was on finishing strong, and I had a question mark in my notes. I hand wrote a question mark, and that was a note to me because I wasn't sure I was going to say what I ended up saying. And so I'm doing the teaching and the men are there and I come to the question mark and I stopped and I looked out at the men and I saw so many faces of men that have cared for me for so long, men looking at me, and I just sensed at that time it was time to be more vulnerable than I'd ever been. That was the question mark. It was, am I ready to say what I might say? And so I said it. So I said, men, I want you to know. I came to the question mark. I had options. I could go the safe route, or I could say what I ended up saying. And I looked at the men and I said, this has been the worst summer of my life.
I remember that moment.
And I can't believe I said it, but in keeping with the thesis of this series on Never Alone, it was just the sense that I was in a group, that I was in family, and it was the right time to be vulnerable. So that's what I said. It has been the worst summer of my life, and last summer was the worst summer of my life. And you know, the temptation to say, well, it was hard, but it's good. You know how we do that sometimes? But I wasn't ready to go there. In August, it was the worst summer of my life. So let me tell you a little bit of background, and I'll tell you why it was so bad. So in 2008, I had severe ear infections, and they left me with partial deafness, chronic tinnitus, and recurring pain in my ears that I've just learned to live with. Then 4 or 5 years ago, I was diagnosed with a gut thing that also caused me pain, recurring. Well, for some reason, last summer, the two converged. And I embarked on a journey that was about 3 or 4 months long of significant suffering, pain, all the time. I was taking, at one point, I was taking 20 ibuprofen and 12 acetaminophen a day, but that's only because I was too big a wimp to take the industrial strength stuff. And they had CT scans, they looked for tumors in my head. I finally saw a specialist who was able to put some of the pieces together. You know, one of the problems is, of course, everybody knows this if they listen to me, you know, you take that many ibuprofen, you're going to have gut issues. And so that
exacerbated
the stress from my ears and head made my gut worse, and the medication made the gut. So it was excruciating for an extended period of time. And by the grace of God, I came. I'm not healed completely. I still deal with symptoms, and I'm still asking the Lord to heal me. But last summer was the worst summer of my life. Now, in hindsight, it was the best summer. Now, it's May, and now I've walked through it, and I've seen what the Lord has done, and I've seen what my prayer life is like, and I've seen how I've changed as a person. So now, I can look back and say, yeah, it was important. And I think what the Lord was doing to me, and He's spoken this to me many times, last year, I was 65 years old. And so at some point, the Lord said to me, you're entering into the final sort of stretch of your life. Who knows how long I have? Nobody knows how long I have, but and I have to do some work in you to prepare you for this final season. And as it turned out, the only way he could get my attention, and he did, was through this period of suffering. So that led to August, where I said, and you know, something changed after that. When I knew people knew, when I knew all those men knew, and I had gone so public, and I spoke on the Tuesday morning men's study shortly after that, and I said more about it. And I remember being more vulnerable than I've ever been. And that morning I looked at the men and I said, I want you to know that I love you. It wasn't love you, man, or love you, buddy. It was, I love you. And if I hadn't gone through what I went through, I never would have been in a position to have the courage to say that. Long answer to your question.
Oh, that I'm going to play off of that. James chapter 1 says these words, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's a great couple verses that we can put on a post-it note, maybe even write on our mirror. How did that play out for you in relation to what you're dealing with? You know, it's what you just shared. How did those verses resonate with you?
They're really important. Interesting. It starts with the word consider. Consider it pure joy when you suffer trials of many kinds, because you're testing your faith builds perseverance. Let perseverance finish his work. So I always thought that word consider means think about. And that's close, but that Greek word means often prince or ruler. And so what that text meant to me was to say, let joy be your ruler, be your guide when you're in the middle of this intense suffering. And that spoke to me, because then I would ask, you know, Romans 12:12, faithful in prayer, patient in affliction, joyful in hope. Then I would say, okay, joy, if you're the boss, how do you want me to respond right now? Because it doesn't just mean consider it pure joy. It means make joy your ruler, make joy your guide. So I would often ask in the middle of this, you know, when the pain was just, you know, really intense, it was, okay, what does joy say right now? Often it was, joy is not happiness. Joy is a deep sense of the presence of the Lord. No matter what my eyes see, no matter what I'm seeing in my circumstance, it is an assurance that God is for me, he loves me, and no matter what evidence I see, his promise and his joy trumps that.
Sociologists tell us that Americans in our current culture are more averse to suffering, pain, illness than any other cultural society.
Absolutely.
We'll go to almost any length to avoid suffering. Is pain and illness and suffering more tolerable when you believe that there is a purpose?
Well, first of all, let me answer this a couple of ways. One, there were times when I told the Lord, take me. To be perfectly frank with you, I said, Lord, if this is my future, I'd prefer that you just take me home. Nothing can compare to your presence. I know that seems morbid, but now on this video is not the time to pull back. So, yes, I think I've experienced benefit and blessing in pain and suffering. I've already said that. So yes, from a human perspective, there's a silver lining in pain and suffering. But from the Lord's perspective, I think suffering is the silver lining. The 2 Timothy text, if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. Or when Jesus was talking about the end times in Matthew 24, he says, he who endures to the end will be saved. From the Lord's perspective, he grieves for us when we're suffering. Jesus did weep when he knew of Lazarus's circumstance. But the Lord sees the long term. He sees the future. So yes, for me, there was a silver lining in the suffering, and I grew more deeply in my relationship with Jesus than I would have otherwise. My prayer life changed. The way I'm about people changed in just a short period of time. So yes, for a human, for me, there was a silver lining in it. But for me, I think from the Lord's perspective, it's not that he's cold and hard, but I think the suffering is the silver lining because he sees the long view and he sees what it'll do and how it's preparing us for eternity in heaven. If that makes sense.
Oh, it does. When we think about different kind of suffering, but many of us pay money for people to, whether it's a workout or a surgery or a go run the Boston Marathon. I mean, we're paying for some level of suffering. Different kind, what you're addressing, I understand that. But there is purpose in it, and that makes a difference.
Yes.
Maybe one more question here. What was your greatest stumbling block that you experienced during the suffering when you were at the deepest point?
I bet you can't guess what, I won't make you guess, but I bet folks can't guess what it is because it surprised me. So I'll tell you, the greatest stumbling block was I would go to the Lord and I would feel guilty for asking him to touch me because I knew there were people suffering worse than me. I never expected that, and I would always think, and I would run through my mind, how can you possibly come to the Lord with your suffering when this person, and I would think of a specific person, this person's going through this, this person has multiple sclerosis, this person has cancer, this person lost a child. And I have to say, that was my greatest stumbling block because, and even today, I haven't navigated it completely. Now, it didn't stop me. What I would say to the Lord at that point would be, Lord, I only know my pain. And so you're right. I don't think he was saying it. I think it was me, but I was saying it to him as if he was saying it. It's true that there are people suffering worse than me in this moment, but I have to believe that I'm your son and you're my father. You're Abba, Daddy. And you don't think about levels of suffering. You're going to apply the love and grace for my suffering just as you're applying the love and grace for those people suffering worse for me. So that was the greatest obstacle I found. I would go to him in prayer, and that would be my thought. How can you have the nerve to ask for healing when this person has this, you know, cancer, MS, Lou Gehrig's disease, a broken marriage. I had this list in my mind of things that were worse than I was going through, and I had to work through that. And I think I learned some things on the other side, but I still don't have a pat answer for it. If somebody does, they can email you and tell you what the answer to that is. But do you have an answer to it?
I don't, because I think it's different for every person, and that's what you're wrestling with.
Yeah.
I want to go back to something you've said a couple times, but I just want to, in maybe 45 seconds, you would say, you had a question mark on that paper, and there are people listening to us right now, and they're thinking what you thought. It was a break point for you where you just literally, you spoke it.
Yep.
What's your advice to the person who's sitting here going, this is too insignificant. It's a minor back pain.
That's the enemy's voice. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say. Nobody cares. You're the only one who has this. Suffer in silence. It's not going to do you any good to share. That is all a cascading form of lies. Do you know how it helped me when you asked people at the end of the anxiety message, if you've ever dealt with anxiety or dealing with it now, please stand. And I looked across the I'm getting goosebumps now. I looked across the congregation and the vast majority of people were standing. And that was tremendous comfort for me. There is tremendous comfort in sharing. This is who I am. These are my flaws, my weaknesses. I always thought I would be bulletproof. Now I'm bullet ridden. And I am so grateful that at that question mark, I said, men, this has been the worst summer of my life. And to me, that was really a turning point. And so I think I can assure you the Lord is waiting for you to open up to Him first, but also to someone who cares about you, someone trustworthy, where you can say, look, this is what I'm going through. I'd love to have your counsel, and I'd love to have you praying for me. And then just become more open. You're not alone. You're never alone, especially surrounded by a church family like we have. That's what I would say.
Amen. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks for letting me.
Yeah. You can use clappers for that. I'd have bought those years ago if I thought you'd have used them. Band, if you want to start making your way this way, we're going to land the plane here. So that's Brian, a dear friend, mentor in the faith, an integral part of our church family. Two things really jumped out at me that he shared, and I'll share some scripture with this too. That there was a point when he wasn't there yet. And some of you might be in that point today. You're in the thick of the suffering and experiencing the trial, experiencing the pain, experiencing the flare-up. And you hear this today and you're just saying, I'm just not there yet. Now, Brian says, you know, it's May now and he can look back on that and see, but there was a point in time in the midst of it that he just couldn't see it. That you're feeling the weight of that suffering in that trial, and I recognize, and I thought about as I watched this and listened to it myself, man, that might be true for someone in the room today. And so if that's you, we're going to close with prayer. I mean, that's the only way we can conclude a message like this, and we're going to land there in just a minute. But James offers us some wisdom. He offers us something to do in that place. He says at verse 5 of chapter 1, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. James there, when he speaks about wisdom, it's not just the intellectual knowledge. Wisdom in this culture is enveloping of the application of knowledge, of helping us take today's message and apply it to the suffering and the day-to-day reality of life. And so he's saying, look, if you're not there yet, you should ask the Lord. And He will help us. He will help you. And it says in verse 6, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. And so if you don't feel like you're in that place yet, he's saying, ask the Lord for help. Ask the Lord for wisdom. Wholeheartedly seek Him for the wisdom and grace to live this out, to see and experience the strengthening that suffering can bring. And it's interesting that he warns us against doubt. Of all the other pieces that he could have given us, he says, hey, don't doubt. And what he's trying to say there is don't waver back and forth between trying to experience this your way and God's way. Commit yourself by faith to doing it the Lord's way. Commit to seeing what God can do, and He will give you what you need. And so today, one of the ways that we can respond is that we would just come beside you and seek God for His wisdom in the midst of your trial. That you might experience the trial that you're in, that you're enduring, in light of what God can do through it. That's one way we can respond today. We're here for you. Another way is that we want to offer an opportunity to pray for healing. Later in the book of James, in chapter 5, he says this. He says at verse 13 of chapter 5, is any among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Anointing with oil is a symbolic practice. We see it throughout the scriptures, and today even used as a reminding of the Lord's healing and comforting presence in our life. And so today, Pastor Terry and I and Pastor Billy Hook, we've all got anointing oil this morning. And if you would like to have a prayer prayed over you in faith for healing, we would love to join you in that. You are welcome to come in just a moment. Maybe, and it's interesting that he links the confession of sin here. Maybe you need to confess sin today. And what he's getting at there is this, that we would be seeking the Lord wholeheartedly, that we wouldn't be over here sinning and living our own way, and then we turn over here and say, oh, but God, but can you heal me? He's saying, no, let's level up here. Let's seek the Lord with all of our heart from an upright heart position of seeking him, confessing sin, and being all in relationship with him. So today, that opportunity is open for you. And maybe you just need to share with someone. That was really another piece that stood out for me in Brian's story, is how much it changed him to be vulnerable, to be open. And so today, before the worship team leads us, if you are in the room today, we've done this about every week. If you're in the room today and you're experiencing a trial, ongoing health challenge, or something that you deal with intermittently, or maybe it's close to home, it's somebody you love, would you stand today? If you can resonate with the pain, the ongoing difficulty that happens in these things, would you stand? And this is just that, not to embarrass anyone, but just that we might be able to look around and go, I'm not alone. Here is someone that you can share with, that you can be vulnerable with. Those that are able, would you join us in standing today? The worship team's going to lead us in worship. You're invited to sing to the Lord. If you would like to reflect quietly, if you would like to come and pray at the altars, it's wide open this morning. Just don't miss the opportunity that's before you. Billy and Terry are in the back. I'll stay up here in the front. If we can anoint you today, pray with you in any different way, just come. Just come. Lord Jesus, thank you for meeting us in this place today, in the place of our trials, our sufferings, our difficulties. And Lord, this is a hard and difficult word. And maybe today our most honest response is, I hear you, but I'm just not there yet. I'm not to the place that we can say that was good. God, I pray for the heart in that place today. Lord, that we would seek your wisdom, we would ask you for it, and that you would give generously, lavishly, that we would suffer well, Lord, that we would experience your healing and strengthening in that process, and that we would have a perspective open to what you can do. And I love that as James began the letter saying, hey, see it this way, he closes out towards the end saying, man, if you're sick, if you're hurting, you're struggling, pray, pray, seek the Lord, ask for healing. So Lord, we want to do both today. Thanks for this opportunity that we could be together seeking you. Brothers and sisters, it's just time to respond. Moments of seeking.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.